So I was thinking about what I would speak on today, and I thought, why don't I talk about honouring your mother and your father? What a beautiful day to do that. And so I'm gonna talk about that today. So bear with me. And just about the culture of honour, which I think honour is very important. I think it's something that's lost in our community today, just the idea of honour and how we honour people. And so I just want to talk a little bit about that today. So just bear with me as we get into this. So it's just from this scripture. If you put the first slide up on the screen, it's interesting that this idea starts right back in the Ten Commandments. We hear this in Exodus 20. Honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land and the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honour. Everyone say honour.
Honour.
Honour your father. We have fathers here. Yep, so we honour our fathers and we honour our mothers. And why do we do that? So that you may live long in the land and the Lord your God is giving you. Honour is a life-giving posture. When we honour, there's life that comes along with honour. To honour is to esteem, to recognise value, to give weight to someone's role or wisdom or presence, you know. And when we honour, there's an alignment that creates stability and blessing in our lives. If you go to the next slide, this is what the Hebrew word for honour is, and I know Dot mentioned this before, and it says this in the Hebrew for honour is this word which says to give weight to. To simply, when we honour something, we give weight to something. To honour is to treat someone as significant. We get that? To treat someone as significant and not casually. Honour is celebrating who someone is without stumbling over who they are not. You like that? Honour is celebrating who someone is without stumbling over who they are not. And we live in a culture today which I think's lost this sense of honour. You know, sometimes we have replaced it with sarcasm, but there's no real sincere praise when we go. You know, we become sarcastic. We undermine the way that we talk about people because we kind of use this idea as we don't want to kind of make people feel like they've got a big head or something. You know, we don't want to. But, you know, we don't necessarily good at smothering people with honour. But the problem is in our culture today, we critique loudly but appreciate quietly. We critique loudly, but we appreciate quietly. We don't always honour. But I believe God's called us to something higher, a lifestyle that honour, that brings heaven to earth. That's what I think it does. Denny Silk said this in his book, Culture of Honour. He said, honour is the language of heaven. Honour is the language of heaven. And the big idea is this. Honour is not a reaction to someone's performance. It's a revelation of God's value in them. I'll say that again. Honour is not a reaction to someone's performance. It's a revelation of God's value in them. So this idea is we honour someone not because of what they have given to us. We honour them because of their created value in God. It's not, honour is not like, it's not transactional. It's not like, you know what, I'll honour you if you give me something. I'll honour you because you are God's created person and I see that in you and I see your potential and I see who you are. We don't honour our mum and our dad because of anything we give them, they've given us, because sometimes it's been good, bad and maybe even ugly. But we honour them because we see God's created value in them, and when we do that, we see that actually God blesses the honour. And I want to talk a little bit about the opposite of that, because what can happen is, if you see the contrast, is that when we honour something, something gets blessed, but when we dishonour something, you can see the impact that it can have, and I want to talk about that. But the first thing is this, honour is a heart posture. It's a heart posture. You go to the next slide. I just want to read from Matthew 15. And Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. There's some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law now arrived to Jerusalem to see Jesus. And they asked him, why do your disciples disobey our old age tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand washing before they eat. And Jesus brings up this topic with them, which is interesting. He said, and why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, for example, let's just talk about this, Pharisees. Honor your father and your mother. And if anyone who speaks disrespectfully of your father and mother must be put to death. But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you. For I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you say that they don't need their honor. In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. Another way of saying that, you cancel the word of God to suit your own interests. And he says, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you and he wrote, these people honor me with their lips. They honor me with their lips. Remember this idea that honor is treating something as significant and not casual. Lip service. It's not just lip service. They said, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. See, our hearts need to be transformed for honor to take place. We've got to have a soft heart. We've got to have a malleable heart for honor to take place. It goes on in verse 9 to say their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commandments from God. So God wants honor to transform, not just something that we do, but it's who we are. There's a heart in us because we become who God wants us to be, to honor people, not based on what they've done for us, but simply because of who they are. I honor my mum because she's my mum, not because she's done anything for me. I honor the people in my life, not because they've done anything for me. I honor you before you've done anything for me because of your created value. We read this story in 1 Samuel 24 where David is being hunted down by Saul, and he has this moment in 1 Samuel 24 where he stops putting his hand on Saul because he saw the significance of Saul's calling. And he said, I'm not going to touch you. I'm going to honor you. And he had every right to think, you know, I'm going to take this guy out. But he stopped and he saw, you know what? God's got his hand on this person's life and I'm not going to touch him. You know, we shape atmospheres with our words, our homes, our churches. They can either be a place of honor or they can be a place of dishonor based on not just how we speak, but what we do. Honor isn't silent. It's spoken. I would love there to be a culture of honor in this church where people go around and go, you know what? It's amazing how people speak so wellly of each other. Well, how uplifting it is to be part. I go and people honor me. They respect me, not because I've done anything for them, but because they just appreciate my presence. They appreciate my friendship. They appreciate just us being in their life. We know this because, you know, we read in Hebrews and all over the Bible, it's talk about this idea of encouraging one another. It's an encouraging. Honor is not a flattery. It's not, but it's a prophetic vision of calling out people's God-given potential. It's not seeing them for what they, you know, it's seeing them for who, how God sees them and says, I honor you because I see your God-given potential and I want to encourage that. I want to fan that into flame. And it's so important because most people don't see their own potential. Most people don't see who God's made them to be and say they need us and each other to remind them through honor. You think about that. I know it's a tough gig being a mum, especially when you got three teenagers living in the house. And they just love us so much. Oh, I feel so loved. Why are you laughing? And I have a responsibility as a husband, and my kids have a responsibility to every now and then remind their parents, hey, mum, you are amazing. I thank you. You are appreciated. It's not silent. It's spoken, and it's done through action. Who got breakfast in bed this morning? or like around the bed, or like somewhere near the bed, like in the kitchen even maybe. Who went and got their own breakfast this morning? You are honoured. If you got teenagers, they haven't risen yet. It's still early. Breakfast in bed at lunchtime. I don't want to just go around and go, oh, you know, it's just empty words, because that's what Jesus spoke of the disciples. I mean, of the Pharisees. And he was like, I don't just want it to be lip service. I want you to genuinely see someone's potential, God-given potential, and I want you to speak it out. I want you to honor them. I want you to thank them. I want them to appreciate it. God said to me recently, just last week, he said, Brooke, what if we started every conversation with thank you? What if we went up, when I saw someone for the first time, the first thing I said to them was thank you. What if we, that's honor. That's the place of honor. That's seeing someone for, you know, as I said before, it's seeing someone. I was just thinking about that last quote from Chris Vallon. It says, honor is celebrating who someone is without stumbling over who they are not. And speaking that out. The other thing which you read from the second half of this passage, so you can go to the next slide, is that honour builds legacy. Honour your father and mother. This is from Ephesians 6. And Paul is reiterating what it says in Exodus in the commandments. He's saying this, so it may go well with you. So you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honour unlocks this sense of legacy. Honour is not just about respect, it's about connection. Because where there's dishonour, there's often division, there's rebellion, there's loss of identity. But where there's honour, there's legacy. There's that story in Genesis where Noah has had a few too many wines. And two of his sons work hard because they see the potential. They see that Noah has God on his life and that he's had a few beers and he's made a fool of himself. And two of his sons have decided that they will try and cover up what's happened. And not cover up in the sense of, but cover up to avoid shame and guilt. He's going, you know what? But the other son wanted to expose him. He wanted to curse him. So you see this story. One wants to honor the father in spite of the situation. The other wants to dishonor. And we see, I love what Lisa Bevere says. This is so powerful. If you go to the next slide. Now. Dishonor multiplies dysfunction and honor redeems it. And we see that in that story is that Ham just dishonors Noah and wants to just kind of, you know, his son expose his dad and curse him, but the other one wants to bless his dad. And this is what happens. There's no doubt that dishonor, when you have a culture of dishonor, it stops the flow of God. This is not a garden that grows fruit. The Spirit of God and the fruit of the Spirit do not grow in a garden of dishonor. I want to read this story from Mark 6, and it's up on the screen, and we've heard this 1,000 times. But Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath he began teaching in the synagogue, and many heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter. See this devaluing of God, devaluing of Jesus and who he is. The son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas and Simon and his sisters live right here among us. That's just Jesus. This is Jesus. Let's just downplay who he is. And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. And then Jesus told him, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed by their unbelief. Familiarity does breed contempt. When we become so familiar with our environment and we forget a place of honor, we'll miss out on the miracle. We'll miss out on the flow of God. Romans 12 says this, and this is the kicker for me. Like, it's healthy competition, right? Outdo one another in showing honor. Be the first to lift someone up. Be the first to speak over someone's life when they don't see it. Be the first to write the note or the text or the prayer of blessing to someone. Be the first. And be the first to do it behind the scenes when no one's looking. When no one notices. You don't need a platform to honor someone. You don't need a platform to honor someone. Outdo one another in showing honor. What would be that? And what does that mean? It means to see the weight. It's to see someone as significant and not casually. It's to show appreciation for someone and who they are. Jesus was so good at this. The Bible says in Philippians 2, it says he humbled himself to even death on a cross. It was never transactional for Jesus. Imagine Jesus only honored people that treated him well. He honored those who dishonored others, like the thief on the cross. He encouraged and elevated those people in community that everyone didn't like or didn't honor. The woman at the well, the woman with the alabaster jar, children, the widow, all these, the homeless. He would honor all these people. And even at the cross, he honored me and you when he said, Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they're doing right now. You know, God has placed significant value on every single human being, no matter what their age is, no matter what their wage or their bank account looks like. No matter what color they are, no matter whether they're male or female, God has placed significant value on every human being, and it is our responsibility to acknowledge it. You know, a church filled with honor is a place filled with healing, where people feel seen and uplifted and spoken well of. It's so easy to dishonor. It's so easy to gossip. It's so easy to quench the spirit. Because that's what gossip is. Proverbs 15 says, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Take it for a moment. I don't know, maybe it has been a long time for you. But just take a moment to think about when someone honored you and how that made you feel. And then for a moment, think about when someone dishonored you and how that made you feel. I want to just declare and decree over you today that honor is the language of heaven, that dishonor is the language of hell. So we need to build a culture of honor, one word at a time, one action at a time, one thought, one text, one email, one phone call, and reclaim this discipline of honor. And I just want to honor our parents here. I want to honour the mums and the dads in the room, and particularly today the mums. And I just want to say you are amazing and you are appreciated. And we love you. So three things. Honour up. Speak value over your parents. Speak value over your leaders. I'm not just saying this because I'm leading the church, by the way. But I tell you, whether it's spoken out loud or in your thoughts, if you honour me with your thoughts, this church will do well. It will flourish in the land. Because I've seen leaders get dishonoured and I've seen the destruction that that can do. Honour down. Bless and encourage your children. Honour them. Honour up your leaders. Your parents, your mentors. Honour down. Bless your children. Bless the next generation. Speak life and hope over them. When you're a parent, it's sometimes easy to see what's wrong rather than what's right about our children. We can focus on where they're failing, where they're missing the mark. But God wants to see, He wants to give us a prophetic vision for their created value. And if you don't have children, I encourage you to bless and honour the children in this church. You get the opportunity to walk past them or nudge them, make sure that they feel honoured. Make sure that they feel seen and loved. And honour all around. So honour up, honour down, honour all around. Why? Because we need to outdo each other in the way that we honour. Whether it's at work and there's that person that really just annoys the living daylights out of you. Find a way to honour them. Whether it's in the supermarket or wherever you find yourself, in your workplace, at home, at church, even in the midst of discontent, I encourage you to still honour those around you. Don't wait for them to honour you. Try to outdo them in honour. So as we leave here, let's make a commitment to speak life this week. Life over our mother, our fathers, our mentors, our children, our workplaces, maybe even someone that you have recently criticized. Go and speak honor. I want to finish with this final thought that's up here. The culture of heaven is not built on control, but on honour. It's not about us controlling everything, but about giving everything. Giving out honour, giving out praise, giving out this idea is that sometimes when things are difficult, we want to bring things in. We want to control our environment because we're afraid of getting hurt, or we're afraid, especially when we've had people dishonour us. And I just want to encourage you to open your hearts and just say, you know what, this is not going to serve me well, but I believe that God's calling us. If we're going to bring heaven to earth, we're going to release honour to everyone around us. Because, you know, honour is the oxygen that revives relationships. If you've got a relationship that's dysfunctional at the moment, find a way to honour them. Not expecting anything in return. You are doing it because you see their created value in God. You seeing what they could be, not what they are not. And you just honour them anyway. So let's start today. We honour our mum. And we can do that even now. Even if our mum's not with us anymore, we can find a way to honour our parents with our thoughts and our prayers and our grace and our emotions. We can heal, find healing by just speaking it out, writing it down and going, you know what, I honour them. I choose to honour them. And Lord, I'm sorry for the times when I didn't do that. And then there's other people that we can do that today. So let's all stand. I would prefer people come to me and go, Brooke, I can't be part of your church. People just love me way too much. I'm sick of all this encouragement. People just honouring me, saying nice things about me, building me up all the time, and I just can't handle it. Imagine that. Imagine. But that's the culture of heaven. You know, that deep sense, you know, you think about what heaven on earth is like and you think, you know, I think heaven's going to be a place where I feel at peace with myself and at peace with God, where I belong, I'm accepted. I feel that sense of peace over my life. I feel like I don't have to perform. I feel like I'm recognized for who I am, not who I am not. And people appreciate me for it. So let's outdo each other with honor. So Lord, I pray today and everyone here, Lord, I thank you so much for the blessing of being part of a family here where we have the opportunity to outdo each other with honor. Lord, I see the potential. I see a church that is absolutely flourishing of encouragement because people are built up and strengthened because people are using their mouth to speak words of blessing rather than curses of death. And I pray that we would bless each other with our words and our thoughts and our emotions, and that we'd feel so encouraged by being in your presence, but also being in the presence of each other. Lord, we often don't see ourselves in the light that you see us in. So Lord, help us see others in that light and to reference it and to encourage it and to spur one another on to those things. And I pray particularly for those of us who are feeling discouraged today, maybe even as a parent. And Lord, I pray that, and I just acknowledge them today as someone who is dearly loved and cherished and precious in your sight, and that you love them and we love them dearly. And I pray, Lord, if we feel discouraged, Lord, that we would know and see how you see us. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are perfect. You are not a mistake. You are beautiful in my sight. And I acknowledge you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen.